to two volumes. The Bible, it's called Reigning in Life, and the Bible describes that we as believers get to reign in life like kings. And so when it tells us that we only need two things to do that, to receive two things, not achieve two things, but to receive two things. And so that's what we've been talking about. We're on part six. This is my last day of talking about righteousness, the one part, and then we're going to start talking about grace. And I'm going to share with you some truths of grace that's absolutely going to blow your socks off or your weave out, whichever one you want. All right, turn over in your Bible. Turn over. Tonight we're going to talk about righteousness, the blessing that brings every blessing. Turn over in your Bible to Romans chapter 5. Romans, again, I like to say it is the Magna Carta of the gospel. The book of Romans, if you'll read it after having this understanding that we've been sharing about righteousness and grace, it'll jump off the pages. The whole New Testament, is, in fact, the whole Bible, the whole theme of the Bible is God came to, sent Jesus to forgive your sins. That is the theme of the entire Bible, and it'll jump off the pages when you understand this gift of righteousness and the grace of God. But here we are in Romans chapter 5. I would think my favorite chapter in Romans. But it says this. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one. What's that man's name? What's his name? Good job, y'all. Good job. Usually somebody says Jesus, but even when I put a little church on it, what's his name? But it is Adam. For if by one man's offense, Adam's offense, death reigned, which is why all of us have been impacted, touched, indirectly or directly by death, sickness, disease, lack, frustration, all that came as a result of Adam's sin. Sickness is death in process. By one man's offense, death reigned like a king through one. It came through one person. His name is Adam. The good news is what's on the other side of that comma. Much more than that. Much more than the way death reigns. Much more than the way sickness reigns. Much more than the way poverty, lack, frustration, all that stuff, condemnation. Much more than that, those who receive just two things. Number one, abundance of grace. And the gift of righteousness will do what? Reign in life. That means everything opposite than death. Everything opposite death. Receiving abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you'll reign in health. You'll reign in abundance. Reign in life, in joy, in peace. Every single thing that Jesus came to give. And it all comes through the one. What's his name? What's his name? Yeah, y'all got it. Okay, and so the whole book of Romans is talking about that. The whole book of Romans is the Magna Carta of the gospel, explains what the power of the gospel is, how it works, and how these two things, grace and righteousness, work. Are y'all with me? Now, look at verse 21. Verse 21, we read this earlier through these last six sessions. But look at verse 21, same chapter. So that as sin reigned in death, the ultimate result of sin is death. Right? Look at this. Even so, grace, unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor, and that's only a fraction of the definition. It's only a small, small portion of what grace is, and that's what I've got to share with you, and that's why I wanted to do it last. So grace might reign through what? Righteousness. What does that mean? The more I am established in righteousness, the more I'm established in that, the more grace reigns in my life. Unearned favor, abundance, health, healing. All it reigns in my life by through righteousness. Are y'all with me? And really with to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the ultimate, that's the end result of it. But watch this. The key is, and what we've been talking about over these last several weeks, is that righteousness is a gift. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It is a gift. We are in perfect right standing with God as believers through faith in Jesus Christ. Not in what we do, exclusively by our faith in Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ, you get all of God's righteousness. Not a portion of God's righteousness, all of his righteousness. Not based on what you do. Now, why this is so important is because what the devil uses against believers to rob them is condemnation. Condemnation. Why? Because we live in an earth suit called a body of flesh, and we will miss it in sin. We will miss it in sin. Now, if you're truly born again, you will not want to live in sin. I say if you're truly born again, if you're truly born again, you will not want to, you will not feel good about your sin. It should not have, it should not feel the same good. Now, yes, yes, the Bible does say sin has pleasure for a season. Come on, somebody. But if you're really born again, you're not going to feel right living in fornication or adultery. Or custicating, or fornicating, or adulticating. Yes, Jesus, amen. Amen. You will not be comfortable with that. But however, you will miss it at times. Come on, somebody. You will miss it at times. And righteousness is to get you out of the addiction, out of the bondage of sin. And we talked about that. Righteousness is your way out of sin's addiction and bondage. Sin is destructive. Sin has a power. Have y'all noticed that? Yeah. Sin leads to more sin.
That's right.
Have y'all found that out? Yeah. Sin leads to more sin, and it ultimately leads to death. And so you want to break the cycle of addictions. You want to break that cycle. But you can't do it in your own strength. Yeah. Why? Because sin has a power. But righteousness of God has a power that's greater. Yeah. Amen. That's what the Bible says in Romans, one of them chapters. It says, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more, in verse chapter 5, actually. Amen? That's not saying that I should sin more so that grace abounds. It's just saying wherever sin is and however great the bondage is, the righteousness and the grace is much bigger than that. It breaks the bondage of that. Amen? All right, so we've covered all that over the last several weeks. And today I want to wind up this portion of the series to let you know that righteousness is the blessing that brings every blessing. It is the gift that brings every gift. Are y'all with me? Here, Jesus even talked about it in Matthew chapter 6. Remember Matthew chapter 6, 5, 6, and 7? It's the Sermon on the Mount. Right. Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 6 particularly, Jesus says, the Gentiles, the heathen, seek after stuff. It's their life pursuit to get stuff. They seek after sustenance. They seek after provision. They seek after shelter. It's their main focus. Are you with me? But he says, for us as believers, the kingdom way is different. We must seek, here it is in verse 33. But it's not, in fact, in verse 32, he says, it's not like that with you, but seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness, not your righteousness, his righteousness and all these things, what things? The provision, the shelter, the clothing, all the stuff that we need. He said it's a byproduct of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, what God is trying to set forth here for believers is priority. The most challenging thing in life, in marriage, in life is just simply right prioritization. Many things are pulling on your time and on your life. And what God is saying, make sure that the kingdom of God is your top priority. Put that in place first and everything else will find proper place. Now, that doesn't mean be so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. Y'all met people like that so deep they can't, boy, it's hot outside. Well, it's hotter in hell. Oh, come on. Can I just be hot? You know what I'm saying? And so they make everything deep. But so what I'm saying is he's telling us how to prioritize. We should, in other words, you can't just sit at home talking about I'm the righteousness of God and expect to get paid. If you don't go out and look for a job, you're going to go broke. Come on, somebody, right? And you can hold up a sign at the corner and say, pray for me and all this stuff. But if you don't go out and work, y'all didn't like that. Y'all got quiet on that. Isn't that right? Okay, I won't even go into that. Y'all got a little offended on that. I told you, okay. I was with my wife in the car yesterday. We was coming home from my favorite place, Walmart and Sam's Club. Come on, somebody. And you know, we pulling out the parking lot, and there's people on both sides of your car waving at you, saying hi, and we wave right back. Praise the Lord. Wave at you, but they want to wave at you so you can give them something. But they were young. They were young like my kids, maybe even younger. And I said to my wife, I said, you know what? My kids, I would not allow them not to work and ask me for something. Can't do it. Not in my house. Not even my 12-year-old. Y'all know that? Your kids got to do something around the house. My dad made us I had a paper out at age 10. My little brother Marty was 8. He was so little that they had to have the manager come over to our house and say, well, let's check y'all out. These boys are kind of young to be responsible for money and delivering papers. But that was back in the 60s. Y'all get what I'm saying? 60s and 70s. My dad was like, if you're going to live here, you're going to work. We had a big yard at our house. Can I just tell y'all? I don't know why I'm going to this. But we had a big yard at our house. We grew up in a Jewish neighborhood. It was predominantly Jewish when we moved there. It ended up predominantly black after a while, if you know what I'm saying. But we had, my dad had three lawnmowers, one big riding lawnmower and two push lawnmowers, not that had the wheels that turned by themselves. It was just the push kind. All right. And then we had a kind of small front yard with, you know, trees and shrubs and all that, but a huge backyard. It was like cutting this whole room. And my dad would get us up every Saturday morning. And guess what he'd do? Come on, boys, time to get up. We'd have to get out there and start the push lawnmowers. My dad would jump on the riding lawnmower and cut the front and then go sit on the back porch and watch us. You missed a spot. We was like, I can't stand him. Are y'all listening? But what was he teaching us? You're going to work. You're going to earn a living. Right, come on, somebody. All right, what was I was getting on that because I don't want y'all to get so deep that you're righteous that God's going to grow a money tree in your backyard. Amen. Okay, where was I? I digress. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Look at this verse for a second. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Bible always interprets Bible. What is the kingdom of God? Because he says, seek first the kingdom of God. I was always taught that the kingdom of God means the principles of God, which I believe isn't wrong, but the Bible gives definition of this. Look over in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Paul gives us definition, and really in the same context. Look what he says. Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. If you read Romans 6, it's talking about don't seek after just filling your belly and just getting a roof. Don't seek after those things. Essentially, don't seek after just eating and drinking, but what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So again, what is Jesus saying? What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, and your priority in life is always to put the kingdom of God first. And know that you're the righteousness of God. That's the primary thing. Know that you're right. Know that you're right with God because of Jesus. That's going to be your foundation for everything being added to you. Right. Are y'all listening to me? That's so huge right there. So in all your, go to work, but include Jesus in your work. Get married, but include Jesus in your marriage. He has to be right smack dab in the middle. And that is really the secret key to life right there. You get that down. You understand how to make Jesus your best friend. Actually, the way the Bible puts it, as your Jesus calls us his bride and him our husband. In other words, it's like this. The Bible says he's the head and we submit to him. What many people do, big mistake in life, is they get their plan, their agenda together and say, God, come over here and bless this. Wrong. The right way is, God, what is your plan for my life? Amen. Your plan. You get it? And you submit to his will. That's a marriage relationship. Come on, somebody. All right. Turn over in your Bible to Romans chapter 4. So again, I just want you to see that it's seeking the kingdom of God. It means understanding your righteousness, receiving this peace and joy that's in the Holy Spirit. It is a result of righteousness. We're going to see that in a few verses. Amen? Look over at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, we looked at it some last week. Romans, awesome book. Romans chapter 4, it starts out, what did Abraham find out about this gift of righteousness? What did Abraham find out? Remember, we just read chapter 5, verse 15 or 17 or something like that in 21. What comes before chapter 5? Chapter 4, here we are. In chapter 4, this whole chapter is about what Abraham and David found out about this gift of righteousness. Amen? Here it is for Abraham. For the promise that he, Abraham, would be the heir of the cosmos. Yeah, the world was not to Abraham or his seed. Who's his seed? Yeah, Galatians 3 says that we are, Galatians 3:29, we are the seed of Abraham. So the promise that he would be heir of the cosmos, the world. That word cosmos means all the world's earthly goods, assets, and something else good. I can't remember. But it's all, and advantages. All the world's earthly goods, assets, and advantages. He was the heir of the world. Do y'all remember that? God made a covenant with him. Think about this just for a second so you understand why this is. God, Adam lost rulership over the world, gave it to who? Satan. Lost that dominion that he had. Jesus, God is makes a covenant with Abraham and says, I'm giving it back to you. I'm making a covenant with you, putting you back in charge. So he says, for the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed. Say, that's us, that's us. That promise was not through the law, but through what? Righteousness of faith. He would be heir of the world. He received this healing. He wanted a child. Remember that? He wanted a child, but he was impotent. Right? And his wife couldn't have any children. But he received the promise that God had for him. How? Through the righteousness of faith and not by keeping the works of the law. Right. Do y'all get that? Amen. Everything comes this way. This is the foundation for it, and that's what I want to show you in the Bible. Turn over in your Bible to Psalms 103. Psalms 103, I hope that you're familiar with this. If you're not, get familiar with Psalms 103. It is it's one of my favorite psalms, one that I quote on a daily basis. In fact, had a really, really busy morning this morning. Busy morning, woke up really early as I always do, but I woke up at 3:56 this morning. Looked over at the clock, I was like, dang, 3:56. Couldn't go back to sleep, got up, got my phone, put my earplugs in, started listening to a couple messages, got sleepy at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. It's like, oh, snap, I need to get up. Couldn't get up. Didn't get up till 7 o'clock. Just laid there, but still listening. Got up. And then I remembered I had to cook meat for the week. You know what I mean. Cook and exercise. I had a bunch to do. So I'm on my way to the office for the afternoon service. Usually leave the house like at 11 o'clock. On the way over, sleep is kicking in. I start confessing Psalms 103. Look at it. Look what it says. The Lord is, Psalms 103, verse 1, please. All the way. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Y'all know the one? Yes, yes. Bless the Lord. Hold on. Who's writing this? King David. Watch what it says. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Who is David talking to? Who's David talking to? Himself. Listen to this, y'all. This whole chapter is about righteousness and the benefits of God. He's talking to himself. Keep that in mind. We'll come back. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what? All his benefits. Who is he talking to? Himself. He's telling himself and reminding himself, don't forget the benefits that you've got. You bet not forget the benefits God's got too. He's reminding himself, and it's recorded here. Verse 3, he begins to list them. Five benefits that are initially listed here. Look at the first one. Who does what? Who forgives some of your iniquities? All your iniquities. I believe that this, by the Spirit of God, is placed in order of priority. Hierarchy. It's saying what's most important first. Who forgives all your iniquities? Look at number 2, blessing. Who heals some of your diseases? I really believe that, I'll show it to you in the scripture, that if people don't understand that their sins are completely forgiven, it's hard for them to receive their sicknesses all removed. Right. Are y'all listening to me? Why? Because again, the devil you'll miss it, and what the devil will do is condemn you and say, well, that's why you don't have this. This is why you steal this, and this is why this is wrong, because you this. You've got to get established in righteousness and know that it's rightfully mine. All my sins are forgiven. Past, present, and future. Anybody got a problem with that? Past, present, and future. Even sins you haven't committed yet are already forgiven. Who says that sounds a little bit crazy, Pastor? That sounds a little bit crazy. Y'all afraid to say, come on. Give me some. There's a little child back there going, that sounds a little bit crazy, Pastor. I don't know. That's scriptural. Here, let me just in case you wouldn't raise your hand. Jesus died 2,000 years ago before you were here. All your sins that he died for were done before you ever committed a sin. Right? Jesus didn't get back on the cross and forgive your sins when you got saved. All you do is step into the forgiveness of what's already been provided. All your whole lives of sin have been forgiven. No one goes to hell for their sins. John chapter 16, verse 8 through 10. No one goes to hell for their sins. They go to hell for one sin. Every sin is covered at the cross except one. One sin isn't covered at the cross. Y'all know what it is? Not believing. Jesus called it blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Right. Not believing in Jesus. That's the only thing. The blood does not cover that. Well, I did this. I did good. He said, all that's great. But did you believe in the sacrifice made for your sin? That's it right there. Are y'all with me? Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Next verse. Who redeems your life from destruction. How many of y'all like that benefit? Yeah. When I'm confessing this, by the way, when I was on my way to work this morning in my car driving, I started saying that. Who forgives all my iniquities. Lord, I thank you that I'm the righteousness of God. Who heals all my diseases. And I said, body, I command you, wake up. I thank you that I've got energy. I've got strength today. I am anointed today to preach, to teach this word, and I'm excited about it. Can't wait to get to work and get another cup of coffee. Praise the Lord. Are y'all with me? But I talk to myself just like David did. Look at the third blessing here. Who redeems your life from destruction? That's all destruction. As I'm saying that, when I'm on my treadmill or wherever I am, he redeems my life from destruction, of strife, of divorce, of sickness, of accident, of calamity. Every time I walk on a plane, he redeemed my life from destruction, Lord. I thank you. No accidents, no misfortune come nigh my dwelling place. I'm protected today. Amen. Y'all with me? Redeems my life from destruction. Who crowns you with what? Loving kindness and tender mercies. The word loving kindness is said. It's if you get an Old Testament that's translated in Greek, that's the same word for charis. It's grace and mercy. He crowns you. You're wearing a crown of grace and mercy. Do y'all know the difference between grace and mercy? Grace is what? As it relates to mercy, grace is you get what you don't deserve. The good you don't deserve. Mercy is you don't get the bad you do deserve. I don't get the bad I do deserve is mercy. I do get the good I don't deserve is what grace is. Y'all remember that? All right, so he crowns me with grace and mercy, both of them. Aren't y'all glad that you get a new mercy every new morning? You don't get the punishment you deserve every brand new morning. You get a brand new mercy and grace. Come on, somebody. Isn't that good news? That's a good benefit. Stop playing. Number five, what's the next one? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. What does that mean, satisfies your mouth with good things? What does that mean? I say it like this, good things going in and good things going out. Puts good things in my mouth, so I'm going to eat right. Come on, somebody, am I so deep that I just can't put everything in my mouth? But then I put the right thing, I say the right thing out of my mouth. And by the way, we're just quoting what David's saying here. This is David's writing. Who satisfies my mouth with good things so that your youth, and I make it personal, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. When I get to this point, I start talking to my body. I start talking to every aspect of my body. I talk to my eyes to see well. I talk to my mind to be sharp. I talk to my joints. I talk to my internal organs. I speak to my heart, command it to beat exactly like you were created. In fact, beat just like you're half my age. Come on, somebody. Come on, my youth is renewed like the eagles. Hey, Stan, now jump to verse 8. This isn't in my notes, but look at this. I want y'all to see this, the rest of this. Yes, look at verse 8. This whole chapter is, now watch, keep in mind, I shared this last week, that David, under the law, under the law, had a revelation of grace under the law. Watch this. The Lord is what? Merciful and gracious. That's mercy and grace. One more time. He's slow to anger, abounding in, not judgment, but mercy. Next, please. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. What is he talking about? He's talking about, this is what the Bible talks about, I was angry with you for a while. Under the law, God was angry with mankind because they weren't keeping the law. David, knowing this, says he will not strive with us. He's not going to be in strife with us forever, nor will his anger be forever. He had an insight about the grace that we live in while he's living under the law. Watch, keep reading. Next one, please. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. This is a man who committed adultery, got a woman pregnant, another man's wife pregnant, and then had that man murdered. Under the old covenant, there was no sacrifice for both of those sins. I read it to you last week in Exodus. If you commit adultery, you're to be stoned to death. If you commit murder, you're to be murdered. Make sure there's two or three witnesses that saw it. But you will, there is no, you can't bring it. Well, can I bring this lamb? No, you're going to be killed. There's no sacrifice. But watch what David says. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. He was able to see grace even under the law. This is why God said, this is a man after my own heart. He really gets my true heart of grace. Come on, somebody. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who revere him. That's what fear means. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Anybody glad about that? Smokey, I know you're glad. He took our sins and threw them away. Far as from the east is from the west, they don't meet. Come on, somebody. Go to the next one. I can't remember. That might be the last one. Look at this. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who revere him or fear him. Do you get he gets this relationship? That's what many of us don't get, that this is a relationship. And of course, he didn't know Jesus. He knew the love of the Father. We know Jesus. Are y'all with me? He knows our frame. He knows how we're made. He remembers that we are dust. Next. As for man, his days are like grass and the flower of the field, so he flourishes. I think that's when the wind passes. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, y'all get the point. Y'all get it? I want y'all to see that he was able to see righteousness and grace and the benefits even under the law. Now, let me read to you. Let's go look at a couple stories, because righteousness, a foundation and being established in righteousness, is the prerequisite in the scriptures for your healing. For your healing. Watch this. Look over in Luke chapter 5 and verse 17 through 25. Y'all remember this story? Watch this. Now it happened on a certain day. Y'all there? Mark this in your Bible. This is a great passage for you to understand. We're talking about the importance of you being established in righteousness, God's righteousness. Now it happened on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And look at this. And the power, dynamis, of the Lord was present to heal them. Why was the power of the Lord present to heal them? Because Jesus was there teaching the word. When the word is being taught, the power of God is present there to heal. Now it happened on a certain... go to the next one. Then, behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed. Y'all got to get the picture of this. Whom they sought to bring in and lay before Jesus, right? Well, when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd. So they're at a house. The house is so crowded, they want to get this man in. T-Bone, I like to call him. T-Bone wants to get in there, see Jesus, get him all up in next to Jesus, because they know he had heard that he's healing, want to get him in there, but the house is too crowded, they can't get him in. You know, David was like, I'm sorry, T-Bone, we got to take you home. He's like, I ain't going home. I came up here to get healed. Stop playing. Dude, we can't get in. We can't get in. He says, tear the roof off the sucker. Tear the root off the sucker. Oh, okay, some of y'all. When they could not find how to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Now, watch this next slide. When Jesus saw their faith, what did their faith look like? Determination, tenacity, stick-to-itiveness. I'm not quitting. I'm getting what you've got for me. Now, this is what believers have to have. This is what faith is. Faith is, I'm getting what Jesus had. If he promised it, it's mine. I'm not backing off. You got to have that. Now, he's here and he's with us. What that means, he's on the inside of you as a believer. Don't back off of your confession. Don't back off of your believing. Don't back off of your action of faith. Don't back off. Don't settle for broke. Come on, somebody. Don't settle for sick. Well, that's just the way it is for you, but it doesn't have to be. Are y'all with me? He saw their faith and said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. Did the man come there to get his sins forgiven? No. He wasn't thinking about his sins. He's thinking about getting up out of that chair. But look what Jesus is concerned with. Why? Watch. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he didn't even hear them, he perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, this is called being put on blast right here. Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say? Okay, we're going to take a test here. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? Leave it there for a second. Test. Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you. If you believe your sins are forgiven you, it's easier to say, put your head up. Some of y'all are like, stop playing. If you believe, it's easy to say your sins are forgiven you, put it up. All right, good, good. But I'm about to have some of y'all half staff and just like, reel up. Let me see. Okay. Who says, no way. It's easy to say, rise up and walk. Put them up real high, real high, real high, real high, real high. Come on. What happened? Some of y'all ain't raising your hand for nothing. One or the other. Put your hand up if you say it's easy to say your sins are forgiven you. Put them up. I'm marking you right now. Look, half staff, Bob. What is it, up or down? Put them down. Okay, I see y'all now. Y'all who didn't raise your hands, y'all believe it's easy to say rise up and walk. Put your hands up. Okay, okay, yeah, all right, good, good. Answer is? Let's read the next verse. He explains it. Watch. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man that was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Watch. It's easier to say your sins are forgiven you because it requires no evidence. If I say your sins are forgiven you, you're not going to find out until you die. When you stand in hell like, oh, snap. My sins weren't forgiven. It's easier to say that. So Jesus said, because it's easier to say your sins are forgiven you, I say, get up and walk. If the dude is like, oh, that didn't work. It has to be proof with it. When the dude got up and picked up his bed, Jesus said, because I said that, now know that when I said your sins are forgiven, best believe they're forgiven. But the truth is, Jesus told him your sins are forgiven first. Are you with me? Y'all get the point there? Y'all get the point? So most of us were all right. Yes, it's easy to say that. Get up and walk requires some evidence. Are you going to go fake? He ain't got no power. He ain't got nothing. Right? Everybody would have been throwing him shade. Dude got up and walked and went home. Everybody glorified God. Y'all see that? My point is Jesus wants to show us prerequisite for receiving your healing is knowing you're forgiven. That's one instance. It's easier to receive it that way. There is an instance in the Bible. Dang, it's such a long chapter. I don't want to read it. But it's John chapter 9. Make a note of this. Make a note. Do y'all remember the story? John chapter 9. The whole chapter is about a blind man who received his healing. He used to go out and he was been blind from birth. And he would sit out in front of the temple every day and beg for alms. Remember? And Jesus people said, why is this man blind? Did he sin or did his parents sin? Jesus' answer was, neither. What was the right answer? Adam. None of them had anything to do with this. Adam is the one who sinned. But that the works, that I can do the works of God, God's going to get glorified out of this. So he was saying, I've come to undo this. Okay, so you remember Jesus spit on some dirt, put it in the man's eyes. Man opened his eyes, he could see. Remember? He's at the temple. So the Pharisees, you know, he's all happy. He's healed. He can see. The story is about natural blindness being healed. Watch the rest of the story, though. So the scribes and the Pharisees say, hey, this is the dude who was blind his whole life, and now he can see. He said, yeah, that's him. They say, what's up? How do you get healed? He said, some dude came by and spit some dirt, put some dirt in my eyes, so I can see. Who was he? He said, I don't know who he was. What do you mean you don't know who he was? What happened? He said, come on, maybe this isn't him. They start trying to figure, that can't happen. Go get his parents. They go get his parents. And you have to read the narrative. It's really funny because they go get his parents. His parents say, they say, is that your son? Yeah, that's our son. Was he blind at birth? Yeah, he's blind at birth. Well, how's he see? I don't know how he see. Then the narrative says, because they would be put out of the temple if they said Jesus healed him, they said, ask him. He grown? Ask him. He's of age. Remember it? Well, ask him again. And then remember they ask him, now how did you get him? He said, I told y'all already. All I know is this. I was blind and now I see. I don't know what happened, dew, spit on the dirt, put it on my eye, now I can see. That's all I know. They put him out of the temple. They put him out, right? And his parents was like, it's about to put us out. Watch. Jesus sees the dude and says, hey, you know who I am? He says, no. He says, I'm Christ. Do you believe in me? He says, yeah. And he's letting him know, I'm the one who healed you. He says, yeah, I believe. And then his blinded spiritual eyes were open. Because of his natural blindness being healed, now his spiritual blindness could be healed. So God's showing us here, I will heal the unbeliever too, to show myself who they are, show myself to them. I'll heal them physically. And you should know that. We should know that as believers. God is willing to heal anyone so that he gets the glory. Come on, somebody. Read it when you get home. All right. Now turn over to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Come on, somebody. Y'all in Luke chapter 7? Watch this. This is an awesome story, and this is awesome revelation about the righteousness of God. If you've got to leave or anything like that, don't forget about your offering. Praise the Lord. We got our stuff out there, Pastor Enda? Yes. Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. Mm-hmm. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, most likely a prostitute, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Mm-hmm. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. If you know some of the history of this alabaster box, you've heard of this before. It's a couple occasions in the Bible where this kind of thing occurs. And this alabaster is very, very precious, precious ointment. Judas was mad because that a woman had wasted this one time. He said, wasting that on Jesus. Remember? Why? Because it was worth a year's income. How did this woman get her income? On her back, sinning. Are y'all with me? She realizes how the sinner that she is and comes to Jesus, pours all of her earnings out on him. Whole year worth of earnings. This is precious ointment. Poor washes her. She stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Watch this. Now when the Pharisee, remember Simon, who had invited him, saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, he said this on the inside. This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him. He didn't even see her crying and washing his hands. Who's touching? Look how she's touching him. Y'all see that? For she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said, this is called being put on blast again. And Jesus answered and said, Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon, with his arrogant self, said, teacher, say it. What you got to say? I see what's going on here. Watch what he says. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them. He did what? Freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you've rightly judged. Look at this next one. Then he turned to the woman, Jesus did, and said to Simon, he's looking at the woman washing his feet with her hair, crying, and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, and by the way, it was the custom to wash a guest's feet, and particularly a rabbi, which Jesus was. And you gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil, sign of humility. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. What is this story all about? What Jesus is trying to show us, the importance of recognizing and knowing how forgiven you are. The more you realize how forgiven you are, the more you love and serve Jesus. This tells me a lot. People who don't love and serve Jesus, they're always falling out, always falling. They don't know how much they're forgiven. She realized how much she was forgiven and couldn't help but fall down at his feet. Worship is the result of knowing how forgiven you are. Come on, y'all see that? Now watch this. Every human being is much forgiven. Y'all get that? Every human being is much forgiven. When we realize that and receive the benefit of that, we worship and love God. I submit to you, when you start falling out of love with Jesus, it's because you've lost sight of how forgiven you are. Come on, somebody. So the more, and this is why righteousness is so important. What did it do? It drew her near to Jesus. Are y'all with me in this place? Y'all get that? Okay. All we're going to do for the last few minutes is I want to show you in the scriptures how the scriptures show us. And really what I want you to do is learn and get identity about your righteousness from the scriptures. It's the foundation for you receiving what you need from God. It's the foundation for that. So you have to establish yourself in it. And that's what the Bible is going to show us. Turn over in Isaiah. Let's just look at some of the benefits that are associated with the gift of righteousness that you and I have. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17 and 18. Look at this. Y'all there? Mark this in your Bible. The work of righteousness will be what? Peace. That word in the Hebrew is shalom. It means nothing lacking and nothing missing. What righteousness, the work that righteousness will do in you is cause you to have nothing lacking and nothing missing. It'll give you shalom, peace. When you meet Hebrews, in fact, I told you I grew up in that neighborhood, Jewish neighborhood, and on their doors they'd have shalom. When you walk on their foot mat, shalom. It means nothing missing, nothing lacking. Peace be to you. Whenever Jesus showed up, peace to you, right? Shalom to you. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. It's a blessing. So the work of righteousness will be that, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. When you know that you're the righteousness of God, it gives you a peace, even in the middle of a storm. Come on, somebody. This is why Jesus was able to sleep on a ship that was being sunk by a storm. And the disciples cried out and said to him, why he's sleeping in the bow of the boat. Remember what they said? Master, carest thou not that we perish? You don't care nothing about us? Now notice here's something very important, a revelation about Jesus in storms. It wasn't enough for him just to be on the boat. You have to be able to know how to utilize his power. Call on him in the middle of the storm. Storms are coming in life, but just because you have him doesn't change it. They went and called on him and said, hey. All right. So watch this. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell. They'll live in this state of peace. Live in that. That's another revelation too. When your peace gets disturbed, oftentimes it's the Holy Spirit trying to let you know, hey, watch this. This is a bad move or a wrong move. Come on. Have you ever lost your peace? The Bible says, let the peace of God have rulership in your heart. Be the umpire of your heart is what it means in the Greek. Let peace rule your heart. Why? Because you're supposed to live in peace. And when your peace gets disturbed, have you ever felt that something's going on? You don't even know what's going on, but you feel unsettled and praying the Holy Ghost. You get what I'm saying? Because you don't know, but God knows. Amen. But you should live in that peace in secure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Amen. Oh, my God. I could go into a whole teaching there, but let's move on. Turn over to Isaiah, Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 comes after Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is the redemption chapter where Isaiah prophesies about what Jesus would do at the cross. Isaiah 54 is the result of those who believe it. In fact, verse 1 starts out like this. Who has believed our report? Who has believed our report? What report? That Jesus going to the cross. And the whole chapter is promises based on what Jesus did for the believer, the promises that are associated with it. And there's several promises here for this righteousness gift that he would bring. Here's the first one. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. Now, if you've got kids, this is a vitally important passage for you to write down, jot, and mark in your Bible. Notice what it doesn't say. All your children shall be taught about the Lord. they'll be taught by the Lord. That's what you want. Come on, how many of you know that your kids can get to an age where they ain't listening to you? Now watch, here, understand this principle of righteousness. Romans chapter 10, it says this, righteousness by the law does, but righteousness by faith does what? Speaks. Righteousness by faith speaks. What does it say? Remember we went through all that in chapter 10? Romans chapter 10 says, righteousness by faith speaks, which is why David said, listen, soul, remember this. Remember this. Your sins are forgiven. You know what? He murdered and killed a guy. Come on. He committed adultery. He had to remind himself. And that's what you got to do. I'm not going to forget the benefits of the Lord. I am healed. I am righteous. I am walking in mercy and grace. All my needs are met. You have to remind. Righteousness speaks those things. Come on, somebody. Watch what he says. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. You want God to reach and teach your kids. Come on, somebody. And look at the next one. And great shall be the shalom of your children. That's a confession. So as a believing parent, and maybe even a future parent, you start saying that now. Thank you, Lord. While you're making your daily confessions, or you get it, you say, thank you, Lord, my children are taught by you, Lord. Thank you that you're reaching them. I believe it. I thank you for it. And great shall be the peace of my children. Everywhere they go, Lord, everywhere they go, they run into you. Every one of their friends that are knuckleheads, Lord, move them out of their life. These are my prayers. Come on, somebody. Look at this, verse 14. Why is that going to happen? Because in righteousness you'll be established. These are the promises associated with you being righteous. And you know, this is a, do y'all get it? The Bible is a contract. It's a legal contract. And God's saying, this is yours because in righteousness you get established. That's what we're doing right now. That's what we're doing in this series, getting established in righteousness. Look what else. You shall be far from oppression. Your kids are going to be taught by the Lord. Great shall be the peace of your children. And you're going to be far from depression. Say this in good times and bad. How many of y'all have ever felt depression before? It's real. Depression is real, and you can't even hardly explain it or shake it off. There's how you shake it off, because you're the righteousness of God. Oppression deeper, and that's what depression, that word means depression, shall have no power over you. You speak to it because you're the righteousness of God. For you shall not fear. Have you ever been afraid? I have. We all have, right? Been afraid of stuff? He says, no, you shall not fear. Why? Because I'm the righteousness of God. And from terror, it shall not come near me. You personalize all this stuff, y'all. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. What is he talking about here? Seems like he changed the subject. No, he's saying enemies are going to rise up against you, but I didn't send them. Why that's important? Because that's the thoughts that the devil will put on your mind. You lose your job. Usually you lose your job because of you and not because of somebody else. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian. You know you kept showing up late. You know you were stealing. Hold on, why y'all act like y'all? Y'all ain't never stolen up from work. Just keep looking straight ahead. I got fired from my second job from stealing a cassette tape at Gold Circle. It was a store like Kmart way back in Columbus, Ohio. Cameras everywhere. And I had the money to buy it. No, I didn't forget. I knew I was stealing it. I was 17. That's why, yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Indeed, they fired me though. I knew when they came over to my area, because I worked in the Eat and Run. It's one of the places where they have a little restaurant in the store. Yeah. This Walmart, well, they put McDonald's and stuff in there now. But then at Gold Circle in Columbus, Ohio, I was the one cooking the food. Y'all know I was grubbing too. Come on. I would leave Ohio State University and come up there, and work like from 5 to 9:30 or something, whenever the store closed. And they had onion rings, burgers. I'd be and one cassette tape. I don't even remember what it was. 16 or 17. And stole it and got fired. Praise the Lord. I just remember they came back to the back at the Eden Run. I remember the security girl was like, uh-oh.
She said, Lee, would you grab your stuff, please? I was like, oh. I was crying and everything. Oh, shoot.
Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Problems will come, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you, though, shall fail for your sake. He said, because you're the righteousness of God, they're going to fail. Every weapon. Now watch, this is why you don't submit to anything that comes against you. Do not do it. Do not bow down to sickness. Do not bow down to trouble. You get what I'm saying? Don't bow down to that. Look at it, and here's the next line. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Does that say that no weapon will be formed against you? No, there'll be weapons that form, but they cannot prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Here's what that means. You go to the doctor, he gives you a negative report. He's condemning you to death. The bank condemns you to whatever. All these problems, it looks bad. And they say, well, we're sorry, this isn't going to work out. Andrew Womack said when they told him his son died, he said, no, I don't receive that. I condemn that. And his son was raised from the dead. Come on, somebody. Was dead like 5 hours. Had the thing on his toe. Come on. Amen. Amen. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you judge it. You condemn that thing, not the person. You condemn that tongue that came against you. You're not going to make it. I am going to make it. And I'll show you why here in just a second. This is the inheritance or heritage of the servants of the Lord, or the sons of God now. This is Old Testament. Why? That word and means because their righteousness is from me. Y'all get it? Y'all remember Fred's song? No weapon. Yeah, sing it, sing it. Sing it better than me. Shall prosper. It won't work. Remember? Why, though? Because your righteousness is from me. That would have been nice if you put that in the song, huh? Amen. That's Revelation. Y'all get that? Promises with righteousness. Amen. That whole chapter is all about the promises of God because of Jesus. Look over it now. Let's go through some of these real quickly. Look over at Psalms. Now, the book of Psalms and Proverbs are where you're going to get most of your truths about your righteousness. The Old Testament is the new concealed. The new is the old revealed. The old is the truths, they're all contained there, but they're all explained in the, they're contained in the New Testament, but explained in the Old Testament. The stories, through the truths of the stories, you'll see it laid out, all right? So in the Old Testament, you'll find over and over and over and over, particularly in the Proverbs. And I want to show you this because you and I have got to develop who we are as the righteousness of God. That's what being established in righteousness means. So look at Psalms chapter 5 and verse 12. Look at this one. For you, O Lord, will bless the who? Righteous. Come on, y'all like that part? With what? With favor you will surround him as a shield. Do y'all ever say that? Lord, when you're getting on a plane, everywhere, when you walk outside, Lord, I thank you that I'm surrounded with favor. I'm looking for favor all the time, y'all. I'm looking for favor. I'm looking for favor when I go on vacation to the airport. Y'all got any first class seats left? Y'all notice they're cheaper when you buy them there at the counter when you're already there than buy them in advance? Come on, somebody. Isn't it great when you get upgraded? Come on, somebody. For like $60? Yes! That's better. It's like double when you, okay? I'm looking for favor at any resort we go to, aren't I, baby? As soon as I get there, I say, hey, y'all got any suites opened up? Y'all got any presents? And the last vacation we went with the kids, remember? Or just Trey. We went to some resort, some all-inclusive, and I said, hey, y'all got any suites? They said, hey, guess what? The presidential suite opened up. I said, hey, just for me. Didn't we, babe? We was like, hi. We like this. Right? It was awesome. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. You will surround him with favor. And that's what I say, thank you, Jesus. While they're checking, I'm going, Lord, thank you for your favor. It surrounds me like a shield. You get it? Go over to Psalms chapter 34. Now, as you're going through the Proverbs and the Psalms, you're just Cadillacing through it like on a regular basis. That's why you read a proverb a day, right? And you'll see the Proverbs. But if you switch over and do 5 Psalms a day, you get what I mean? Just on a regular routine, you'll come across these things. And I'll show you here in just a second. The eyes of the Lord are on who? That's us. That's us. And his ears are open to their cry. Look at the verse next one. 17, The righteous cry out and the Lord hears. That's good news, but look at this, is even better. And delivers them out of all their trouble. How many of y'all like that promise? See, get established in that. Whatever difficulty you come in, know because I'm righteous, God's getting me out of this. And you got to know that. That gives you this peace and confidence right in the middle of the storm. Y'all see it? Look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We don't like that part. Good thing there's the rest of it. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Every one of your troubles, don't settle for it. Now, there is testing in the Lord. Ooh, I'm going to get to that in the marriage series. I'm going to get to that in the marriage. It's called the bitter cup. Bitter cup. And there's a test in the Bible that, ooh, I'm going to wait to the marriage series. 8:19. Ooh. God, it's so much. Hang on, y'all. I got to go through too many. Come on Sundays, I'm going to start talking about marriage and the truths of marriage from the scriptures and us being married to Christ. God, you're going to love that truth, though. You're going to love that truth. I got to keep going because I got more. I wanted to finish, and I finished in the first service. And I'll get to it, all right? Look, get to 19 minutes. Go to 21. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. Come on, somebody. Do y'all get this? You don't have to fight back on people. Guess what? God's got your back. Come on, somebody. Look at chapter 35, verse 27 and 28. Oh, I love this one. I love this one. Psalms 35, 27 and 28. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Who? Those who favor my righteous cause. That's us. Y'all didn't act like y'all was glad about that. Thank you, Ray. Ray was like, yo, I know, that's me. That's y'all. Y'all taking notes or something, right? Let them do what? Shout for joy and be glad. Even when things ain't looking good. Particularly, that's exactly right, Dana. Particularly when things aren't good. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Why? Because I'm righteous. And let them do what? Let them say occasionally. Remember what I told you, righteousness speaks. The way you execute the authority and power of righteousness is out of your mouth. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That's how it works. Let them say continually, David writes, let the Lord be magnified. Who what? Who has pleasure in the prosperity. God, now watch when this is really needed, when you're struggling. God, I thank you that you pleasure in my prosperity. I give you joy, I rejoice, and I'm glad. Now, that doesn't mean just sit there at home and be glad. Get off your tail and go to work. And don't complain about your job. Come on, somebody. If you don't like your job, find another one. And thank God for the one you got. All right. Go on to verse next one. And my tongue shall speak of what? Come on, do y'all see this? Come on, I want you to see it. Your tongue speaks of his righteousness. Lord, I thank you that I'm the righteousness of God. And of your praise, how long? All the day long. This is something you continually do. Make this part of your lifestyle. Now, jump on over to Psalms 37. How many of you are learning already? Amen. Righteousness is executed with your mouth and believing in your heart that you're righteous. Look at this. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Isn't that true? I knew this drug dealer in high school. He wasn't a drug dealer in high school, but he was really cool. He was really cool. No, he was like, he was the most athletic. He was the most handsome boy in school. All growing up, all the way through elementary school, he had all the girlfriends. He was just the coolest kid in the world. I could say his name now, but I won't say his name now. You know who I'm talking about? And he had a little brother that was y'all's age or maybe my brother's age. And he ended up moving to L.A. and selling dope, big time, because he was that cool. He was big time. In fact, I talked to a buddy of mine, and he said, man, I went over to what's-his-name's house. He's out in L.A., man. He said, dude, in his house he has, what's that movie that? Scarface. He had this room that just had cameras over his property and all this stuff. Ended up going to prison. He said, leave, but he lives looking over his shoulder. He's so, He's afraid everywhere he goes out that somebody's going to, and somebody did.
Wow.
Ended up going to prison. Are y'all listening to me? He was voted most likely to succeed, most athletic, most handsome. I mean, our high school yearbook just has him all in the back. Like, dang, I can't get nothing but squiggly teeth, play guitar, biggest bell bottoms, most jacked up afro. I couldn't get no love in high school. Y'all know what I'm saying? Platform shoes wasn't even right. 1979, y'all. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Y'all get what he's saying right there? For the arms of the wicked, verse 17, shall be broken, but the Lord upholds who? The righteous. Next. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Upright means righteous as well. Is there another one? It's all throughout the Psalms and the Proverbs. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. This is a difficult day. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Who? The righteous. Look what David says. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the who? Righteous forsaken, nor the kids begging bread. Your righteousness extends to your kids when you understand how to speak it into their lives. Y'all see that? Amen, amen, amen. Now, let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 10. Just grab your Bible. Open it up to Proverbs 10. I just want to show y'all something. And this is all through the Proverbs. As you read through the Proverbs, and hopefully you'll commit to it on a daily basis, I want to show y'all mine. I showed it to the first service. I've showed it many times before. But my Proverbs, my book of Proverbs, I highlighted in yellow and pink. Y'all, I want y'all to see. See that? Everything in pink is righteousness. I circle it, whenever you see pink in the Proverbs, this is in the Proverbs, in all my Bibles, see those words that are circled are righteous, righteous. All this pink is all righteousness passages. All Proverbs, all my book of Proverbs, I highlight yellow verses are just other ones that I really like, but pink, can y'all see that?
Yes.
Every word that you see circled is all righteous. I do that because I'm not just telling you what I know, I'm telling you what I do. This is what works. See all those words circled right there? Every word, all throughout the Proverbs. And the Proverbs is laced. It is absolutely saturated with truths of righteousness. Y'all see that? See that? This is all throughout the Proverbs. It's pink and yellow because I go through when I read it and highlight in every Bible, and particularly the New King James and King James Version. And for y'all's benefit, just trust me there. I'm not going to go all the way back there. But I want you to see that this really works. And when you read through it, turn over to chapter 10. Let me just read a few verses. Look at verse, and then we're closing. Oh, yes, time to go. Chapter 10, look at verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. What delivers from death? Yes, your righteousness will deliver you from death. When they say you got cancer, they say you're not going to make it. Righteousness is what delivers you. Look at verse 3. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. He casts away the desires of the wicked. Jump down to verse 6. Blessings on the head of the who? Righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Verse 7. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Jump down to verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a what? Why? Because righteousness is executed through your mouth. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. They say crazy stuff. Verse 16, the labor of the righteous leads to life. That means you're not going to be working doing drug sales, illegal drug sales and stuff that's illegal. He said it leads to life. Amen? The wages of the wicked to sin. You get it? Jump down to verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Silver always represents redemption in the Bible. So the tongue of the righteous always brings good. It always brings redemption, right? The heart of the wicked is worth little. Verse 21, same chapter. The lips of the righteous do what? Feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. And so on and so forth. 24, on and on and on and on and on and on. Almost every verse, the lips of the righteous know what to accept them. Over and over and over. The hope of the righteous, verse 28, will be gladness. That means you expect gladness. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Jump down to chapter 11. Almost every verse too. Verse 3, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Verse 4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright. He says, your righteousness will guide you. Verse 6, the righteousness of the right upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their own lust. Look at verse 8. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. You get it? So these are your confessions as you're reading through Proverbs on a daily basis. You don't have to do it the way I did it, but start identifying this, because in Proverbs, you're going to find out the truths about your righteousness. Over and over and over. There's one I really wanted to show you over and over, but look at verse chapter 13 and verse 6, and we'll close. Chapter 13 in verse 6. Which verse was it? Whatever I had there, guards his way is blameless. Hang on. Go all the way to 15, 15 and 6. It's all through it. If you go through all the Proverbs and do it, you're going to find out all these promises about your deliverance. You want to get those on your heart and start saying them. Look at this. I love this one. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure. Andrea and her husband just got a new house today. I saw y'all signing it. Beautiful, beautiful. And look what the Bible promises about the house of the righteous. There is much. In fact, put it in the Amplified Bible. Look at this. Can y'all do it back there? And this is our last verse. We're going home. Get your seed, get your tithe, get your offering. Can y'all flip it back there for me if you can? I know what it says. It says, in the house of the uncompromisingly righteous is great priceless treasure. Right? Great price. Anybody got an Amplified? Oh, there it is, right there. In the house of the uncompromising righteous is great, priceless treasure. But with the income of the wicked is trouble and vexation. Anybody glad to be righteous? Your house is blessed, your kids are blessed, your income's blessed. All these promises, that has to go on your mouth as the righteous and get established in it. Close your Bible, stand upon your feet. Praise the Lord. Get your seed, get your tithe ready. Isn't that good, y'all? Come on, say, I'm the righteousness of God. You know what else the Bible says? It says the seed of the righteous is delivered. It says that in the Psalms or the Proverbs too. Your kids receive benefit from your righteousness. Get your seed, get your tithe, get your offering, and let's get ready to go. Come on, somebody. Anybody receive that tonight? Isn't that good? Does that help you? Amen. And over the last 6 weeks, we've talked about how this is a gift that you can't earn it. It is every believer has it. Get established. It's progressive in knowledge, it's progressive in standing, and you progress in it. You don't get any more righteousness. You will progress in understanding. The more you understand it, the more benefit is manifested. You don't get more righteous. You can't get any more righteous. Holiness is the result of this, knowing you're righteous. Amen? Grab your seed in your hand. Let's make this faith confession. Everybody get a seed. Say this. I profess that I've... Come on. Which you have... Because you, Jesus, I bring the... You have... Oh, that the pouring me out of Satan cannot my money with all because of the. Come on, I'm rich, come on. Yes! I am. And how many of y'all believe that? Hallelujah, I declare it. I speak blessing and favor, righteousness over you, power over you. No weapon formed against you can prosper in Jesus' name. By the way, is there anybody here for the first time? You ain't never been here before, and here you are tonight. Anybody like that? How many of y'all believe this is a great church to come to? Amen. Listen, I want to encourage you to bring somebody with you. I'm starting to teach on marriage and family. All through this summer, you're going to get such revelation. You say, Pastor, I'm not married. Listen, if you ever want to be married, you'll want to know what I'm going to be sharing. If you've got kids that are planning to get married, you want to know this. If you've been divorced, widowed, you want to know this. I'm going to share with you truths that is going to reveal so many awesome things. Then we're going to talk about children and raising children from the scriptures. We need to know it from the Bible. It's going to be awesome. Amen? Amen. Amen. Everybody saved? Yeah. Who's saved? Wave at me. Yes, yes, yes. I declare, I got to do this, right? Did I do that already? Yeah. I declare you blessed to be a blessing. I declare everything you set your hands to do prospers and flourishes. No weapon formed against you can prosper because you are the righteousness and favored of God in Jesus' name. I love y'all. Can't wait to see you on Sunday. Peace.